we will hear from you soon, because I want to teach this dual regulation of life. I have it in my notes. And, you know, I think, you know, wouldn't we just deal with our family issues? And if the National Credit Regulator wants to come on that day, they should come. Are they we're meeting today?
Yes, yeah.
But they suppose you will manage them.
I think
you do
a lot of
training
in that program.
Yeah, that was, again, that's beyond our control, right? I think I know you here, but yeah, at the beginning I explained what happened in this parliament. Okay, Mr. Mania, what's the story?
Chairman, before we break for lunch, I mean, we were discussing the issue of the National Credit Regulator. You made mention of one informal interaction with the National Credit, and then a slightly more formal and lengthy. What I'd like to request is that we actually formally invite the National Credit Regulator to appear before the committee and to put the case.
I'm not sure what was the point of calling them again. Maybe they can just write to us. What was the point of calling them again? And can we discuss this in the bigger committee? Because it's, unless there's a need for it, what will be the point? As I told you, the first time the guy, with due respect to him, I think he was prepared. And so he just basically almost said, well, I'll be out of it or something, right? The second time, somebody was more substantial. And from what I could tell, Antonio might have the minutes. We can look at it, but yeah, we can call the principal, where's Antonio? We can keep it open about calling the National Credit Unit. I'm not opposed to it, even if I am, the majority want to have them, it's fine. But in the meanwhile, when you meet with DGI, does your team include the National Credit Regulator? Yeah, then you can come with a comment report. Tell us where you agree and where you disagree. Right, good. Okay, fine. So that's the way of dealing with the matter for now. The next issue is the cost of the bill and who would bear responsibility ultimately and how much. Now, there is a paper you gave us towards the end of our considerations of the full last quarter. Let's go through it now. And all members got a copy of that. Or you can open your iPads and cell phones and emails on your computer and find it. Okay.
Okay, we actually conveniently have a presentation on it. I have a presentation of everything. I think at the moment something that we would have given the committee with a money bill, but I think it was raised previously that the committee would like to see the stuff earlier than the money bill, and that's fine. So we have done some work on this, and what government has is a process called the Socio-Economic Impact Assessment System, which is now a requirement for all bills to go through. The Free Market Foundation pointed out that we hadn't published ours, and yeah, we don't need it all, no. We discussed it.
We didn't even discuss it.
Yeah,
I think we did.
I'll show you two slides.
I don't think we're going to come around again. Right?
No,
people can look at their minutes and I remember going through all of this.
Yeah, so quick two slides I'll give you, and then hopefully we can sort it out. Basically, if a bank fails, it's incredibly expensive to the country. And when I say incredibly,
Mania, you are 20 years younger than me. Unless you are not here, we're not going to entertain that. Okay, clear. Members who are not here, we are entertaining, whether they're from the ANC or Communist Party or whatever. But we'll allow some latitude because we're coming back, and I realize there's a gap. So I will allow some latitude. But then you're very boring for me. Go ahead. I'll meet.
Oh yeah, so I'll let me show you, let me show you two slides which you have seen before, Chair, but I really, it's not new at all. Basically, if you have a bank failure, it is just ridiculously expensive. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, really expensive. Okay, I won't, don't need to bore you on expensiveness. we've done some work on what the cost indications are, and so basically, currently the system costs, direct costs, the industry about $907 million in fees to the FSB. We expect in the next financial year that this cost will rise by 1.033 billion, so just over a billion. And will probably rise, you know, over time. But that gives you roughly the number, which is about a billion. Interesting stuff. If you add up all of the remuneration packages of directors in the country, a senior executive of South Africa's largest financial companies, you get to 1.2 billion. We're not saying it, we're just saying. and so it's a bit of a by companies, but you know, most companies are certainly very big companies where the costs of regulations, the amount they pay to the regulator, is substantially less than the remuneration package of their CEO. So I mean, I think the point is things are expensive, but CEOs are also expensive. then if you think about what the financial institutions, so this is from the GDP statistics, they contribute about $325 billion to the economy in 2015, and we're estimating the costs of regulation are in the order of about 1.3 to 1.8. So that includes indirect and direct costs of regulation. So what we do there is we look at all the indirect costs. So we did a survey, most people in the room surveyed, there's a whole process, we try to work out how much this costs them, we ask them how much does your compliance function cost you, all of that kind of stuff. I don't know if I want to go through more details, but we've got all the scenarios and the different cost increases, and so we, you know, we submit that it is costly, but that it's not ridiculously expensive. I mean, even if the cost double, we're looking at direct cost double, it's from $1 billion to $2 billion. The big issue is obviously the indirect costs, so that's having compliance functions, the fact that you have to fill in the forms. We're trying to minimize it as much as possible, but I do want to bring it back to the first line, which is that if a bank fails, the fiscus has put up a lot of money, and we didn't have that experience in the last few years. So we feel that the costs are balanced. I don't know, Jay, I'm going to do some tediousness, but that's up to you.
Comment. I hope the media is listening. Okay, over to members. Yes, the media.
Sure, I don't think we should make light of the financial implications of the bill. As far as I'm aware, this committee has not formally considered the impact decision. This is the first time that we've had sight of it and are now formally considering it. So, and the cost implications, I mean, as Roy has pointed out, are not insignificant. Now, if you look at the document, it concedes on page, just give me a, I think I was correct actually in quoting, that 11 of the 16 respondents conceded that costs will be passed on to consumers. So there is going to be a cost to consumers. And yet, in, I think, almost contradiction, on page 19, it said, the document says, there should be no additional direct or indirect costs for the poorest households, black people, youth and women, small and emerging enterprises, and rural development, over and above the costs that generally apply to financial consumers and institutions. Now the question is, on what basis do you draw that conclusion? And what measures will be taken to prevent costs accruing to the poorest households? That's the first question. Well, it's evident. Well, let me not get to that. Trying to be.
I said I've been in Sandy, it doesn't mean you mustn't. Okay? You're listening here, but I've been very good for the last 2 hours.
The second is that the. On page 26 of the report, I mean, there's reference to an implementation levy. The costs of that once-off implementation levy to be borne by business. I mean, the question there is, if there is an implementation levy or a cost implementation, why should that cost not be borne by the state?
Anything else on this issue? Can I just clarify something? I'm not exactly sure whether you discuss this theme as a whole, this document, right? I know I've read, I don't know when I've read it. Secondly, I know you brought in most of those things in the endless discussions we've had. So, I think it's for the members to decide whether they want to keep harping on the same issues, right? The only difference here is now that the member focusing on specific statistics. So, what I want to say is this is a major theme, and it will carry ourselves through to the last moments. But before you respond, I'd like to suggest, because this issue will affect the average person out there, maybe the industry wants to say something about whether they think those costs are an underestimate, overestimate, or real. Then you can come in. Right? Does anybody from the industry want to speak? Now, when you do so, just remember we are politicians. Right? We are what we are. Don't try to be politicians. In other words, at this stage, when Fashini speaks, obviously you know what Fashini's up to. I mean, when you speak, I know what you're going to say, which is, hey, that cost is very high, it's too onerous, we've covered that ground, right? And then you'll be acting like more radical than the EFF when it comes to the poor. So let's get real now. Obviously, you will reply, but we will locate what you're saying in the context of who you are and the needs and interests you represent. So having said that, what is your response to this? Anybody from civil society here you might want to speak to? Okay, over to you, whoever. What are these figures for you like? Sifiso did actually say it would be a less. And here he is. Thank you, Sifiso. Right, over to whoever.
Jay, maybe just from both of the speakers, yes, we are concerned around the financial impact, but it's very difficult at this point in time to really indicate and to understand the exact costs that we are going to incur. Yes, no, well, I can come back to you with a reasonable estimate, but we are concerned.
Yes, Rosemary.
Mr. Chair, the fees and matters when Twin Peaks was first mooted were concerned that there would be heavy costs, but as you say, we are all concerned about that, but we don't know at this stage. It really does depend on how it rolls out. Quite frankly, the fees members feel that the Twin Peaks structure is right, is supportive of it, and believe that legislation coherently enacted under that framework will be a better structure than the current rather silo structure that we have. So we support it. As long as levies are not outrageous going forward, we do expect there to be implications because of extra staff, et cetera, and obviously there are costs and expenses when a new structure is set up. But it will probably, the sense is, it will probably level out and at the end of the day the structure be a better one that we have now.
Well, I have some latitude. Quite frankly, everything you say, either you said or somebody else said, there's nothing new so far. The only new thing you're saying is that you're not sure, which is predictable. So members, we're covering the same ground. Let's have that member and I'll come to you, Tandy. I'm telling you, I'm going to rule people out of repeating what they said, right? Okay. Including members. Then they can go to the Constitutional Court and can you go to
the... I just want to also say the evolution or the development of this regulatory framework in terms of the regulatory strategy and the standards would also help us later to ascertain exact costs, and that too is also...
Either from you or somebody else, but thank you anyway. Right. Tandy?
I'm raising an issue. I'm just reminding you of an issue that was at the National Treasury, if I'm correct. If I'm not, you're ruling out. I heard at one point Roy saying that there will be a phasing in system of the levies, gradual phasing it. So we shouldn't, it should always be in the back of our mind when we're speaking to these issues. I thought we were talking about estimates. If they are not there, then there is no matter to discuss based on the statistics that David has presented. So the matter is neither here nor there, because we said that. We took a principle that there will be a gradual phasing in. So there is no matter for discussion here.
Okay, over to you then.
Chair, I'm going to answer the question on the implementation. If it's a yes, there are obviously two ways of doing it. Either we can pay it by taxes, or you can pay it by the industry. I guess that would require additional tax, because we don't have any money at the moment. So we could either push through a new tax increase in the TLAB, or we could raise by levy. We have taken the view that it's probably better to raise by levy. I think it's much more efficient to run it by the industry that we regulated. Otherwise, you're making ordinary taxpayers that don't really have much interest in financial services pay a tax. So we think that a levy is a better way of doing it. And like we put up there, it is actually quite a small percentage of their profits, quite a small percentage of the value that they add to the economy. And actually, most people say that one of the reasons the economy grows very fast is because of well-regulated financial system. So I don't see a problem. On the personal problem, let Kathy reply to that, because it really is kind of goes to the heart of the point, which is that you do want to pay for good regulation, particularly good conduct regulation. And I'm going to let her.
Yes, so I think there are a number of points here, and firstly, and I'm sure we've said this before as well, that the greater cost is coming not necessarily from the twin peak model per se, it's coming from the changing way in which we are regulating the sector. So even if, for example, on the conduct side, the prudential side, stability is the same, there's already a much more proactive, closer monitoring, engaging, watching of the conduct, how the businesses are behaving from both a prudential stability and a conduct issue. Now that closer scrutiny is itself going to be triggering the greater cost. So it's not the twin peak per se, in other words, the structure that just facilitates the model chosen. That said, on the financial inclusion story, what this law provides for and the regulation coming forward is a more proportionate response to financial institutions and the business that they're doing. So if you are a much more complicated institution offering much more complex products, you are going to probably, your cost would increase, as opposed to a similar institution offering much more simple products, whereby your cost should actually come down. So for example, on the insurance side, this law and the insurance law to follow provides for the microinsurance framework, which is exactly that. If you're offering a simple product to a simple institution, your regulatory cost will actually be a lot less relative to the current environment. I think it also needs to be considered that the cost will be borne differently. Firstly, it levels the playing field, which is a good thing, but what that means is that currently entities which aren't regulated will become regulated, so obviously their costs are going to increase significantly more. The retailers, for example, they're in a tricky space. Retailers are providing, in effect, financial products and services, credit, insurance, that haven't always been regulated like the credit, like a bank or like an insurer. Their regulation in many instances has been a lot lighter. But they're doing the same thing. So again, relatively speaking, one would expect that as the framework harmonizes, so some entities will end up paying more relative to others. But these are, from our perspective, this is right. They should be for the reasons I've just expressed.
Andy?
I really regret to say what I'm going to say. We are being shortchanged here, both by National Treasury and the stakeholder on the cumbersome process that they should have dealt with, because the gist of the matter here is it's the cumbersome process that's going to be engaged upon. Cost-sharing issue that you are not talking to about. They're not talking about a cost-sharing effect that needs to be phased in to make sure that this legislation is realized. Both the sector and National Treasury. So we can go around the circle on this matter. That matter has not been, because they don't want to say open to National Treasury, let's get into an argument of cost-sharing.
Okay, I mean, my impression is there doesn't seem to be a compelling argument to support the statement in the impact assessment that there will be no direct or should be no additional direct or indirect costs to the poorest households. But let's leave that there. I mean, we've now heard the arguments. what I would suggest, Chair, and made reference to this, is that we have sight of the Lely's Bill as soon as possible and preferably before we pass the piece of legislation.
Chair, I think two issues. I think when you get to the impact on the poorest of households and so on, bear in mind one of our big objectives in the financial sector is financial inclusion. And that certainly is something that I'm hoping we'll be able to to impose on her we get a policy document out. We do have something we've been working on. We have been talking about it. But having said that, you see, those things are still intentions. I mean, and that's where this thing becomes hard. Because on the one hand, like Roy has said, let's take banking alone, okay. Banks themselves, if you said, hello, we won't regulate, it's free, nothing, okay. Before you know it, banks will be begging us to regulate them. Okay. Now, a lot of this is set by international standards. If you imposed Basel III 10 years ago, people would have been outraged. But today these have become international standards, and if we don't apply it, then it's going to be, our banks are going to face pressure when they operate overseas. Money laundering, you know, it does go very far. But if we are going to think that we have lower standards, forget. By the way, even if you think that you can run a twin system, you can have a state bank and it can operate below and it can have lesser anti-money laundering standards. No, it doesn't work that way. Like with the Iranian oil issue, not one drop of oil coming from Iran was allowed to touch any other oil, even though South Africa didn't have those, didn't recognize such a ban, okay? But effectively that was the impact. So a lot of these costs are driven by those standards, and they may increase probably, and it's very hard, I think, to really cost that. That's the reality. Now, we can have the bill, and certainly the bill will lay the basis, because at the moment, if you look at the system as it applies for banks, they don't pay fees towards banking. That's because of the capital they hold with banks' provision. Okay. If you look at, and went to the UK chair, if you look at the approach that's been taken to the financial sector, is that they should bear the cost of that regulation largely. The amounts are big, so cost sharing is not something that's really possible. Yes, the industry will take most of those costs, and it should. In certain sectors, that's clearly the case, eh? Well, the bank, and yes, some of it goes to consumers, but you know, how many, again, we can say, you can have financial inclusion, but how many poorer people actually have so many accounts? That is obviously those with more money would probably pay more, okay? So, I'm saying we can give you studies. Everything depends on the assumptions, okay? At the end of it, and that's why I think the best approach is, we can give an estimate, as we've said, what we think it will cost. But the reality is, when we actually start implementing, on one hand, you're going to start from where we are. So your base is what the FSB has been charging, Bank Super has been charging. So for banks, it would be new, if you take an approach there. And then, of course, you're going to look at the capacity of the regulator, because everything will not be in place immediately. But again, I think that it's going to be important if you put out papers, that there's a proper process. The fights we have, by the way, with all the regulators here, and with the international institutions, is they say operational independence means they must have their own budget. Now, every regulator, when they set up the international standards, they argue their own case in that instance. I say on that, we ignore their position, okay? Because many countries, in Australia, if you're ASIC, it's through budget, if I'm not mistaken, that was the case. We are democratic countries, and you would like, when those allocations are made, that there's some accountability around that. So, I think the important thing is going to be, at the time, as we get those fees, compared to the process that they're currently, with all due respect, the FSB has a process, but I think it's a very opaque system. I think we need a better system than we have currently with the FSB, and we need a system that, yes, if it's a regulatory measure, ultimately someone's got to decide. I think the minister will have, should play a role, by the way. I don't, on this one, I think even the regulators cannot be trusted with this by themselves. There's got to be accountability. We've got to be assured that the process is going to be right. We've got to give the industry and others the opportunity to come and make comments on the budget, especially the first few budgets. Once you have a line, then yes, it becomes more inflation on a year-to-year basis. So I think we can, the best we can do is to provide this estimate. But I think it's when we implement, that's when we should be that's when we should have proper consultation processes, especially for the first few years until we get to the sort of right baseline. So, I think, Chair, we can do the studies and all of that, and there'll be different assumptions, and we'll get a result that we want to have. But I'm not sure we can actually do better at this stage.
Can we then allay the fears of David by saying in the notes we include what Momo has just said, that when it's phased in, proper consultation processes will be there at the current questions are we dealing with ethnic, then it allays these fears, and it allows that when regulations are passed, Parliament then would have an opportunity to even look at that. And it's why the Chair was speaking about when Commerce Freedom Journal was saying Parliament's role in the content of the regulations becomes imperative. I think it will address the question that David raised in terms of when the Chair is accepting.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, just in response to the Treasury, identifying and pursuing the theme of the financial implications, I mean, I think you're fighting the wrong battle. National Treasury's response to questions about financial implications tend to be to assume that you opposed to the regulation of the financial sector, or you do not support sort of, or you support that tax regulation. In my case, that is not the case. I'm pursuing the financial implications because I think we have an interest in limiting the costs, probably trying to create greater certainty about the possible costs. I understand that there are significant uncertainties, and then most especially trying to protect poor households from incurring further costs. Those are my interests. For example, somebody needs to explain why the Chief Executive Officer of the financial sector, the FSB, earns three times more than the public sector. Why? I think going forward, looking at there probably are significant savings that we can look at over time. But my interests are to limit costs, greater certainty about costs, and also to protect the households from incurring costs. So I think it would be very useful if we actually see the levies bill.
Yeah, no, Chair, this time we had a slide. You managed to let David to play politics on this issue, because the gist is not about the cost that will be incurred by the poor when the burden is transferred to them. It's a political position on how remuneration is structured in South Africa. And that isn't debate for another day. In this context, we've allayed this fear. We have said, we've made a suggestion to say in the notes, we cover the issue that when the estimates are made, and public consultation is taking place, we need to follow the process very clearly, and it should be noted in the notes of the legislation. Something that David knows very well, you cannot put that type of explanatory note in the legislation. It's not part of the legal framework of what we're trying to achieve by this law. So we cannot let this one slide. It's politics. We can play with them somewhere else. Here we try to find the middle ground. We're going to observe how this is going to be implemented. The different regulations that are going to be taken by the minister implementation will be observed, because we're not trying to do things at all costs and let the process become some sort of stakeholder. We made it very clear that we need to see a phase-in process, and it will be observed. So we want to assure them by putting it out. That's the solution. Beyond that, it's something else here.
What's your name, sorry? Who you represent? I've forgotten. Oh, yes. Are you going to say something?
Yes, we just said we also want to put forward that we support the, that we have sight of the Moneyball as soon as possible, and also what we wanted to say was that in addition to what Treasury has put forward, banks also pay a license fee in terms of the Banks Act regulatory regime.
You see, this is decorum, and there's a respect of, I can see my sister, that you, because I'm so open in the committees, speak your mind, and maybe that's fine, and we'll allow it, no problem, but it's inappropriate, actually, for a stakeholder to say, we would like to see the money bills in this favor, the money bills, because you're not going to vote on this. It's fine for me, the mania, to say whatever his reasons are, but it is odd. So I think we should say, I don't know how, actually, I accept, it's hard to draw the line, but fine, and why would you not want to see what you want to see before the police. It's not for you to say, but I understand that. I just think you also have to pull it from decorum. You know, as a committee chair, you know, this is not a communist society, and I don't think you will support such a thing. In an ideal communist society, yes, there would be such total engagement, presumably. So I just think if people can just slightly understand, we're in phase two now, and something's only MPs decide on. But okay, fine. What I want to ask you, though, is to just understand that my own view is, one, that I think it is strange for you to say, I mean, that this will not have any significant effect on the poor and so on. And Mr. Menius Rath, he says 11 to 6. They have their own reasons. Two is, my own view is that it doesn't matter what the person's agenda is. In other words, somebody could raise an issue for very different reasons, right, from what you would raise it for. But it doesn't make that issue raised any less legitimate, whatever the reasons are. So I think, you know, to be fair to everybody, maybe because when you sit in the chair, you have to be more awake. I noticed, for example, yesterday, I wasn't listening to everything. I'm just not sharing for my job. But I must say, 95% of what's been said, in some form or another, has been aired in this meeting. Actually, very little new. The only thing new that's coming up. And it's been aired repeatedly in different ways. And those of you from Basa who have been here day one, like the Syrian people there, I didn't take notes, they will confirm for us, you know. I mean, little that's new. The only new thing emerging is that the money bills act related to this would perhaps have to be considered, I don't know, the precondition, that's where it goes. But apart from that, we're really going around in circles. I also think one has to be fair. You could not do, perhaps, maybe I'm wrong, something that's proved other, much more. You could have done a bit more in what you've done there. It's very hard to actually say. But we are right to ask, Mr. Many are right to ask, whatever the reasons are, the question is. So why don't we say that at this stage, it's very hard to take this debate further, right? Respondents, so on. If there are two members here, three members here agree. Let's agree that we will, also when people who select part this thing, that once we will, all of us, look at the government more carefully. Two is that if possible, we consider the Money Bills Act, whatever form, however dimension it is, related to this, before we vote on this bill. Three is we put, as she says in the report, exactly what Tandy is saying, I'm not going to repeat that. Four is that the committee members also accept that it's impossible for anybody here to have precise things that we have. And five is that the Masani is back and Antonio, they can do some work independently. Take all this stuff. I don't know how you're going to do that, Antonio. This raises another issue, but then Tandy will say it's my business as if I appoint myself to apply for a job. You know, and said, hey, I'm a minister, home minister, I want this job. So, right. But I'm just saying that basically, you see, this goes back to my feeling that the committee sometimes raises very correct and sound policy and political issues. But we are unable to carry through because of our limited capacity. See, ideally, you know what we should do, Tanzi? You're right. And Mr. Mayor is also right. It's right for the ministry, I mean, for the members to be cautious about Treasury sales. Any Treasury anywhere in the world. you're likely to say what you're saying. Any progressive person is likely to say what some of the members here are saying. So, where is the way out? The way out is Parliament. It's not the PBO's job, actually. That's not their job. They're doing work they shouldn't be doing. Because, you know, it's actually not your job. It's a content advisor's job with the committee, if you know the rules and norms of Parliament. How are we going to do an independent assessment? So we're taking so far. We can't take it further unless we can show that the stuff you're giving us is inaccurate and so on. So we come back to that actually, within our limited resources, I think, Antonia, don't commit suicide tonight. So it's already even work with Kumasani, and she's, and by the way, Sean Muller has left us, right? So we don't have two people allocated to this committee. So I don't know how, Dunan is not here, how you can work with Kumasani, but can you do some work in this area? It's not something immediate. It'll probably come up more and more in the fourth quarter. Right, over to you.
I think you said much of, I think you've clarified what needs to be done, so we will certainly work on the bill and bring it. I was just going to say, to add on, that I think the process of the approving of budgets by regulators and the accountability around that is also going to be important.
Yeah.
And if we haven't given it enough thought, because I believe there is a role for the minister there, which sort of deals with Honourable Mania's point, that if you really want to look at the cost effect, you don't want the regulators themselves. Regulators themselves will just say, maximize the budget. Okay? We do need a counter to that, and I think that's where I think the role of the minister comes in, and we can look at accountability mechanisms. I think that on the issue of remuneration, you do need a proper process. You can't have the people there determining their remuneration. If there's a board, there's a remuneration committee, etc. So that may well be that the public protector is not getting enough, right? Because I don't think that, if you look at our regulators, I don't think their salaries, not that I've been, you know, are completely out of line. If you go internationally, there are many regulators who argue that, we take Hong Kong, that people get, I think, the average of the top five CEOs of the companies that they regulate in some such form. So they are very well paid. Okay, so I'm saying this thing is... Sorry, oh. No, but I'm saying ours is quite low. I'm saying our levels, I think, are relatively low, okay? And I can't comment on whoever gets paid as out of the financial sector that we deal with. But I'm saying, but of course what you don't want is a regulator determining those levels. And that's why we have a remuneration committee and so on that could actually determine that. Other than, so I think the accountability mechanisms will be in. Okay, just to correct one thing, I didn't say there's no significant impact on every household. But I've said it depends on the accounts, yeah. Yeah.
Andy is my interpreter, right? So she can continue to play that role. Now, can we move on to the next issue, which is the transitional provisions? It's another theme, right?
I have a presentation. but we can maybe look at transitional provisions, we explain them. Chair, if you like.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we go to...
Rather than going clause by clause, this is a policy issue. What we have been saying repeatedly is for a variety of reasons, not just finances, as Tandy now refers to the issue. It's all about capacity, about, you know, a big leap, if you like. Elements of it are already taking place, but overall, it's actually quite a significant move from the current regime, right? Now, you can't do all of it overnight. And maybe what I think, as members agree, let's come back to transitional provisions at the end. Because then we have a firmer sense of what the issues are. But
okay.
Acknowledge, Antonia, that this is, you identified six things, you've identified another five. Due regulation, cost of the bill, transitional provisions, implementing this bill in terms of public awareness, summaries of the bill, that sort of aspect. Right? And then the thing that's more internal to us, the lessons from the UK study tour.
Mm.
So, on the matter of transitional provisions, I just want to ask members, should we sort of park this off and come back to it at the end, because it will deal with the implementation issues? Because one of the things we need to consider, it also links the point to Cipisa, is to simplify this bill in three or four pages, for articles to be written by the minister, by the committee members, well, the chairman or the researcher or somebody. So the researcher, what this is about, so people don't misunderstand it, you know. Because there's been a lot of mobilization against this bill. At the last moment, people will come, often presenting themselves pro-poor and very disadvantaged, when their intentions are completely different, not consistent with the National Democratic Movement or the governing party's views and so on. So we'll be careful about ensuring that it's not the elite here, but significant constituents are swayed by misrepresentations of the bill, right? We keep happening to experience that now. On the issue of the UK study, well, comrades, colleagues, we can't go and visit another country, spend so much of money and time, and then ignore the report. So I want to draw your attention to the following issues. I'm not saying there are direct mechanical things that you can apply here, but I want to alert members in particular to the version, the smaller version. We gave you the whole one to read, and then we've given you from page 16 to 22, where we deal with the bill. I'm not going to take you through it, you can read this. All I'm alerting to you is that the headings, right? And particularly the members who were there, Pinky's not here, but everybody else is here, was there, I think. excuse me. We said basically that in our report, that issue is very contested, right? Nothing new there. But also, that look, those of you who are not familiar with this, we found that there are colleagues in the committee section, we didn't meet the MPs directly, and the stakeholders communicated that the bill took quite some work from the MPs to process. And then established parliament, unlike us, they have battery of researchers and support staff. And then, of course, this need to strengthen oversight role, let it be a consistent theme. I'd like ministers who especially were there to read that, because there are things they will pick up on. Then on this thing of multiple accountability, similar themes. This is finishing actually. Look at what it says. here again, if you look under D, there are four bullet points. The ambit of parliament, the executive, and the regulator make the same thing just discussed. This is an important point in financial stability. And so how can you raise this? Interestingly, what came up there was how do you define it? How do you measure it and how do you regulate it? This is quite a fundamental issue, which we haven't really discussed. So in terms of things, we focus on the issue of financial stability. Some stage we want to create a keener sense. So when we enter the latter part of phase two of our process of the bill, we will want to look at that again. Then the issue of accountability, right, of the regulator. This is a thing. By the way, I agree with you. You know that on the one hand, people say these people are going to pay too much. On the other hand, the minister intervenes and says, no, you're interfering in the independent regulator, and I want to find the balance, I don't know. But that issue we just dealing with, one of the key stuff. This is interesting. This we don't do. But it's something hopefully in the future, CTSO and Kanti and all those do, right? I like this idea. The point of key stuff. I mean, a real democracy in the form that we present ourselves to the parliamentary, I mean, to the constitution we've adopted to do this, eh? I really like this. Can I read this to you, comrades, colleagues? Appointment of key stuff. In the UK, the parliament can conduct hearings ahead of the appointment of key stuff, but the appointment remains the prerogative of the executive. I really, really like this personally. And I want those in the ANC to challenge me on that. This thing is consistent with our norms and values and traditions. 5.2. Now this thing, is it a Twin Peaks model or not? This is a wonderful set of issues, I think. there is a place for our own model too, right? And I like Roy's very credible quote on that. Won't cover that ground. The South African system could perhaps be seen, you know, your attention, more as a mountain, two peaks, and a molehill. You must compliment your colleague there, Momo, for a very clever way of putting it. Somebody, who was it? Who was it? It was Mr. Mania. Then I disagree with this altogether. I don't think this is that. No. Sorry, I changed my mind. I'm open-minded, as I said to my friend there. wants to take a viral high. I'm teasing, right? Okay, so regulatory, it is a wonderful summary. This, by the way, I drew from your summary. Roy helped us determine the content of this report, but our brilliant, wonderful Bridget has abandoned us, and Dumasani was caught up in other things, so I sent a series of questions to Roy and his colleague. Where's your colleague? What's her name again? Where is she? Oh, you don't need her anymore. Oh, all right, fine. So anyway, this summary came from Roy. Clear segregation of duties. This is going to come up, please, all the time. We might, please, can we read this a bit? You know, actually, by the time I would put these things side by side and look at the clauses, right? We should do it now in the policy. But I really must go through this carefully. I found this one of the most interesting study tours that I've ever been on, really. Well, maybe because I didn't know anything. But as you know, when you go to Australia and you're in this performance management, any of the issues, that's my area. For me, at least, very subjective. This one I learned the most. Scott needs to ensure that these conflicts in the roles are minimized. Which we heard this very morning, right, by my brother there from PTI and so on, with the National Credit Regulator, and my friend from Foschini, if I can call him a friend, my class enemy, where is he gone? Oh. I'm teasing him here. Yeah. Okay, financial education of the public, well, I've covered that just now. You see, the other advantage of Momo having this thing simplified. We need to empower disadvantaged people to know they have more rights now than previously. To know they can't be, well, they can be, but the prospect of them being taken for rights, so to speak, are reduced, right? Then the issue of fees being borne by the sector. Let me read to you because this came up right now, I think. We just give a bit more attention, right? It says, according to various UK financial sector stakeholders, the reform of the financial sector was welcome, however, the costs of reform were high. Note, Momo, as if you don't know all this, right, because you've been to all these countries. Some of the financial institutions were already fined by either the EU, US regulators, about for their role in the 2008 global financial crisis. Some people get heated about, say, what's in the financial intelligence center books. That's how I understand it. Even if you don't have that fact, the banks are still bound operating in a globalized financial system. That's the same standards and rules. You think the British are going to change their model? And then what's interesting there, of course, is that we have had this process in the UN. We had this fellow, not sort of due respect, our comrade veterans, Kadra Small Chin at PTF, right? And we, through Trevor, Praveen, have pushed all of this, right? So, now here it is, the bank is saying any further costs would, they were argued, affect their ability to contribute to the economy. It seems that a significant part of the cost, notice this, is being borne by the consumers, right? So I think this may be right to cast suspicion on the formulation there, right? Given the lower levels of incomes and the material inequalities in South Africa, Mr. Roy Haberman, we said Scott needs to be much more concerned than even the UK Parliament about this. So what I'm trying to get another round is there's nothing new was said, right? All this is covered. This is that people forget. I'm 60, 45, and one day is 22, and they don't remember. I've been sharing you remember more probably. Financial education of the public. Some members serve in various committees, I understand, especially for the opposition parties. Okay, on financial education, I think we just covered that, right? That the British also found it's a big issue so that consumers are aware. Then the effects of the financial service on its person. That will come to later, but we've covered it in the way we go to the tribunal. Interpretation of legislation, similar issue. All familiar, eh? Right. Merger of credit and conduct regulator. Ho, ho, ho. Look here, my friend. Could you read this stuff? Eh? And now, it doesn't mean I'm going to tell your minister you have to go to the UK and take 14 people with you, right? All right. Merger of credit and conduct regulator. All right. In South Africa, the role of the National Credit Regulator and its location in the Department of the Credit Industry. I don't know why it's industry here, but it is some challenges and will have to be addressed. Look at page 21, consultation with trade and industry portfolio committee and the Department of Trade and Industry. Again, to remind you, I've made repeated attempts to get my dear sister, Jo, whom I'm a biggest fan of, right, to meet, and she, unfortunately, and she's very legitimate, she has a million meetings to run. So, she pestered me for a while, and I think she's getting old and dirty, right, so she forgot. I'm sure one of the days, somebody will spark a friend of ours there, and she'll start harassing me, but we have to have a joint meeting. The joint meeting falls into reduced regulatory fragmentation. A single regulatory view of all activities as a finite is important. Don't get worried, I'm just telling you what the British did, right? The FSR attempts to harmonize the approach, including by providing strong cooperation mechanisms between the NCR and FSC. And my own view, by the way, although if I have to be blunt, you're going to battle for this. Battle for this. And we say it's important to consider whether such measures are adequate, right? I think it's the same point being raised by the Australian and others. Unintended consequences. This is a thing that stunned me in a way. When I reflect on it, really profound, actually. For me, I'm speaking subjectively, okay? I'm not saying others, if you might have found it by now. The issue came up more, and Roy captured it very well, right? About one of the key lessons being, the banks also use it, right? It's like a way of bettering governments to regulate. But even the government, it's a total government, but it's still applied to some extent to a progressive government in South Africa. It says legislation needs to manage competing policy objectives better, right? This is 5DA, colleagues. The UK Twin Peaks legislation was mainly motivated by the global crisis 2008. And some of the measures imposed on the financial sector later seen to impede economic growth, in acknowledging that the UK Parliament, government and regulatory bodies agreed to propose changes to the then implemented Twin Peaks model to enable economic growth. These proposals were done in consultation with the sector players. Some of the financial providers, however, argue that the current financial regulations make it difficult for them to provide debt and other services needed by the economy. Now, here's another way, Tandy, where we can actually disempower the emerging, the points of peace that you're making, black entrepreneurs and so on, you know? Because banks use it as just, you guys, your government, passed this bill in that parliament, and now you are telling us to do things that are not consistent, right? Because really, we have to be cautious, and, you know, there are all these fines that are looming and some similar challenges need to be considered, we say, in the South African context. The trust needs to ensure the FSR bill does not serve to further exclude the poor and disadvantage from the financial system. To be sustained, and the stricter regulatory requirements do not unnecessarily impede economic growth, which is a concern of government as a whole in the country, presumably across all political divides. Market access by small players. Some of the arguments, colleagues, just remember and say, about the causes of the 2008 global financial crisis include concerns that some of the financial institutions were too big and their failures had devastating consequences on other players in the market. Right? The UK Twin Peaks model is also aimed at significantly reducing conduct that could lead to big institutions fail. It is also intended to ensure that the financial sector is accessible to small institutions. Unclear whether this was achieved since the introduction of the financial reforms in the UK. Now, this is a point that I made and the committee agreed on, but it's not me, it's rocket science. It is actually a milder formulation of what we got, remember, time deems to me. A lot of them said, actually, the jury's still out, right? But they put it, I'm saying the jury's still out, but actually they're actually saying it's not happening. But again, because it's the industry saying it, well, let's be slightly cautious. Not because you're bad people. I would be just the way you've been, right? If you're and you would, if you're an ANC member of parliament, behave and conduct and so on in perspective. And you should be better behaved than me as the chair. But in perspective, you'd be probably having the same views. Given that the four major banks, nobody's mentioned this, have about 90% of market share. Horrific. This is a very important consideration in South African context. See, because your plate is covered here. Right. Now we must, this point I want to say, we must put in our report, Tandy. If you should go get consensus on it, we'll put it to the vote. But this thing of four banks. I know somebody will say, hey, it's hard to get the banks in and all that, but I'm saying to you, this is a sub-theme. Can we put it down as a sub-theme, please, about the monopolistic nature of the banks in the country and the consequences for the countries or the governing parties and the governing parties' policies on the financial sector. Now, there's the point covered already, right, that Mr. Mannion has raised for whatever reason. And, all right, fine, that is now there, which is, it was a fascinating study. Well, I really think it was worth it, Paul. And I don't think we can forget what I said there. So that is another document that Antonio keeps reminding us, hey, guys, you didn't hit me, but you went to London, and look here, these points were made. Good. Now that we've done all that, let's go to clause by clause, unless there are protest matters and policy matters that you want to address. Right, Tali, Mr. Mayor.
Sir, before we go close, I want to suggest that we should have a debate. The National Treasury and all the banks should be involved about market sharing and making sure that not 90% of the market share goes to South African.
Now, I think there should be some discussion. We might want to go to the House with the debate on this, but this will be as an outcome of our protesting. Can you know that, Antonio? We can have, you can yourself, you know, as the rules, propose a subject for debate. Now, happy, I'll take part in this if you want. You're totally happy to take part. I would like to take part in it, actually.
So I was suggesting we engage the banks, because you see, when we're dealing with Afghanistan, we used to put in business to...
Yeah, let me take something else. Right. Let's do polls. Why don't we do this, right? On New Year's Day 2017, sadly escaped there will be the free date. We'll have a sitting here. But well, actually, why don't we do this? We have a special sitting early in the new year. I think it's a good idea. So we can put up our report that the committee will have a sitting and as a draft. These things, by Antonia, your draft report, Alan, Antonia, and Frank's kind enough to go beyond what he wrote is, and he always is. He's another star, by the way. I wrote to your boss, right? Have they increased your performance? Bonus?
I didn't give me a bonus.
Oh, because I need my share of this, right? So I need, okay. Now, Antonia, here's the report emerging, right? These things. Whether we will finally say that or not depends on where we are then and how the different members feel. Okay, what else is left, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Chair. Just to mention, I mean, obviously one of the appointments that we weren't able to keep was the appointment with Andrew Tyree for a whole range of reasons. But...
I know what they are.
Right. Oh, right. Perhaps that's a...
It's just, maybe I should answer to the study group members in the end. Not study group, the group, study tour group. Because I had to pursue all of that, as I said I would. It's horrific. Let's go on.
But the, I mean, that's irrelevant. What is irrelevant, what is relevant is that Andrew Tyree, I mean, recently made a statement where he's called for a review of the Twin Peaks model and is now proposing a new peak. And I actually, I mean, I need to do a little bit more research, but I think that the argument has merit. He's proposing that all the enforcement functions be removed and be removed and warehoused under third enforcement peak. And I'll tell you why that has appeared.
Well, you're going to the toilet now, you have to consult us. We're in phase two now. Okay. No, not without the committee competing. Go ahead, please.
Just to recap, I mean, Lilo is aware that we didn't see Andrew Tyree, the chair of the Treasury Committee, but he's probably also aware that Andrew Tyree is now proposing a review of the Twin Peaks model and is proposing that, in fact, there be all the enforcement functions be warehoused under a third peak, a third enforcement peak. I obviously need to do a little bit more research, but the model appeals to me, and it appeals to me for the following reason. The Reserve Bank, I mean, in respect of conducting investigations into the banking sector, is essentially taking on executive functions. And because the Reserve Bank is independent, it is not properly accountable for those investigations to Parliament. So the idea of an independent enforcement peak has appeal. I mean, my recent experience with the Reserve Bank and with the FIC on requests for certain investigations convinced me that we should look at removing the enforcement functions from particularly the Reserve Bank.
How did you pick this up? How did you, you know, Googling or something, and typed in Andrew Tyree or Twin Peaks or what? How did it? When did it happen?
I can't quite recall, but it's fairly recently captured on Bloomberg or one of the big websites. I came across an article, I think, on Bloomberg Business website.
We were looking for Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Others might want to look at that sort of thing and never find out how it is you pick up these things. Okay, unless...
I read Bloomberg on a daily basis.
Oh, wow, and you didn't find...
I didn't find that. I don't want to get into... No, you're asking a very interesting question. And even... I don't want to cross my sessions on David. But...
Why not?
No, you know, you see, the official attacking business, I don't know when you only ask, you know. You see, the intention is not to copy the UK model essence. It's to apply our minds on how other models are effective and see what we can have for our own. And I'm saying this because for David to suggest that the African Reserve Bank is not accountable to Parliament isn't true. We call the South African Reserve Bank on a regular basis to respond to any other question that they have for them. And in actual fact, this is a political statement saying that the current speech legislation as is interfering with the role of the enforcement agency. That's the political statement that they said. Well, of course, I'm challenging that. That's what I'm saying. In the South African context, we've got our right to have a different model, but it's not that we are close to an engagement to look whether our model is feasible or not. To this extent, we have not had a convincing argument for a different model. I will listen to it as it comes. And basically, legislation is not cast in stone. Even when it's not effective, it will be changed by those who delay that conjunction. So, I will be interested to listen to a convincing argument against the model that you're about to adopt, given the fact that will tease out any challenging issue that we need to look at, especially if we're looking at the enforcement agents. So we'll be open to that engagement.
Sam, if I may, I just want to throw this one, after having read the report and the comments in the report. Benchmarking is a very important thing to be done in policy formulation development, and I think that's what we're doing. But I think we should be very careful, just in general, that where we do our benchmarking, right? Except world and emerging economy like ours, it will have challenges for our economy, which the UK doesn't have. If I may, the suggestion that I want to make is that going forward, we should consider, when we do this benchmarking, look at economies which have got the same challenges like our economy, so that we can see some of the impact of the things that we've done. We've done this thing before. For instance, if you look at how we dealt with what happened in the clothing industry, where we moved protection, moved fast and moved protection and so on, and the consequences that we're having today are because of our moving fast and having benchmarked ourselves with economies which who are not at our level. So the point I'm making is that going forward, there are many similarities with the UK and so on, but it's very important when we do this benchmarking that we should look at the economies which are at our level of development so that we can also understand this. It's nice, it's well and good to go to Europe, but the challenges that we're having here are completely different from what the UK and Europe is in general. I just wanted to make that comment.
All of this last year, I remember the decision, just to inform you, was to go to Mexico, not to the UK. That was our priority. We had made a proposal that we go to one developed country, because London, whether we like it or not, is the center of the financial global performance. So whether you like it or not, and our banks are being owned in the case of Russia. That's the side. So when the parliamentary powers that be said you can't do, we first go to Mexico actually, you remember? And then go to do our priority. When we discovered that they won't fund both, we then approached the NCLP to go to Mexico. And funny enough, yesterday I was harassing them, they're going next Friday. Are you aware they're going? And are you going as well? Okay. So they're going next Friday. And the reason I raised this issue is exactly what you're saying, which is, listen, guys, you guys go to Mexico and you come back early part of January next year. What value is it to add to our proceeding of the bill now? In fact, I'm going off record. The reason we opted for UK is because it's getting late. And it was, when somebody from Disney came back and said, well, it's your choice, but remember, in Mexico, you will have to have translations. You can't do a lot in that space of time. You've got a limited certain number of days or whatever. So we're on the same page. In fact, the committees that I have chaired, we very rarely go to developed countries, actually. We stopped in 2005. But in here, we had this thing that we couldn't go. Mexico was the closest. Indonesia was the other one that we got. So we decided to go to one developed and one developing country. And that's how it came to be, that we went to the UK. But if all goes well, the party wasn't approved up to yesterday. That's the reason we changed our program. They went to Mexico, in theory. Actually, yesterday, they haven't got the money, but they are going. And they went to finish their report, if we sort of assure you, within 2 weeks of coming back, even though, so we can look at.
No, thank you, sir. You pardon me, I'm the newest kid on the block, so I wasn't aware of it. But, yeah, but it's an important consideration. I was talking about the removal of tariffs at the speed at which we moved at the end of. But, yeah. And then, I think another thing, I know again, I'm getting into the problem that you shared with the beginning, that we don't have enough support staff. Because it's one thing for us to go to a particular jurisdiction, but it's one thing to have prepared to see what happened at other places, and also I think Treasury can do that, that that's what has happened on the economies, which are like ours, similar economies and so on, because it's one thing that the committee went to the UK, but there's nothing that's stopping us, especially the Treasury, to say what is the experiences of other emerging economies, where are they as far as this development is concerned, and what has been their experience, what have been their experiences, to be shared.
You must ask these questions, all right. That was done, to be fair. In various ways, we've asked them. We often ask that, Sipi, so we say, tell us what's happening in Brazil, India, Nigeria, we do. And in various ways, they have interspersed their comments. What I can give you, if you want, is the original draft I got from the research unit, which I returned to them. It was literally a survey. I don't want to enter into these things. I refuse to even look at it. It's long. I can give that to you if you want. That does look at comparative countries. If I remember also, we mandated Bridget to do some work. I can't recall whether she did some work. I think she did. And I don't give members everything. You know why? Because if we clutter you with too much of stuff, which is preparatory work, you can have it. I don't really care. But there was some work, and it was not, let's put it this way, if we saw. Not stuff you could process for a committee. But I can give you that stuff. When any other member wants it, I can look for it in my thing. We say, look, man, this stuff, let's do more work on it. And then the program came in. So, you know, at this stage, given where we are, we can still do some comparative assessment. What I would prefer, though, is that we identify the issues that are troubling us. And we say, can you tell us how other countries have dealt with this issue? Other things, if you so maybe Momo can answer. What Kisley told us, and there's no evidence that they are being accurate, is that the Twin Peaks model, or the overhaul of the financial sector, is happening all over. At this stage, the countries that have made progress are few in the developing world. In the developed world, on the other hand, there are more. And they gave us the list. In fact, in preparing the motivation for the study tour, I had to engage with Roy and his colleagues and say, just the stuff. And then Bridget and Dumasani looked at the drafts and so on. So we did much of what you say, but if you still want it, I can find it for you. Anybody wants it can have it. But, you know, a lot of the stuff, I give you 98% of the emails I get. I would call you, would send you yet another letter for Travis Gautam, saying I want an extension in the election, that sort of stuff. But if anybody wants it, you're entitled to it, I'll find it and look for it and give it to you.
Yeah, I just want to correct, we've never said most advanced economies have been peace.
Oh,
yeah. But you're right, the developing, there's very few. But we're also quite happy to sit with Honorable Pelezi, and because he has come late and perhaps...
Yeah.
And any other members that there are to go through, because I think it's quite important that, because I think the questions he's asking are important, like you say, we have considered it, but we're quite happy to work through these issues with Honorable Mr. Lady.
Some of the stuff you gave me, actually I do have, in preparation of the study tour motivation, which I sent to all of you, including the members who were not coming on the study tour, this was before your time. So, in fact, I have got the stuff. I'll also look for it. But before, maybe it's better, man. You move computer a little. Find the stuff you sent me and give it to Sophie. So anybody else wants it? Okay. Anybody wants it? He's apart from the visa because he's just coming. But I mean, you guys have been here. You've got this thing and you're familiar with most of it. I think what will be also useful is once we begin to identify the issues on which there's a great deadlock of the committee members, we can say, okay, how do other countries view it? And let us hope they go next Friday to Mexico. Okay. Then can we move on? Yeah. Yeah. There's no lighter notes. But you are all right. From there? Yeah. So do. Right. Now, let's go on clause one of the bill now. And we've got 57 minutes left. Right. Now, quickly to start with the bill, right? You have made amendments to the... I notice people refer to it as a preamble. It's not a preamble. It's the aims of the bill. But the stakeholders refer to a preamble. A preamble advocate is something else, right? So, objects of the bill are set out in the dark print at the top of page, whatever it is, one or two. Right? How about Mikey? There's no preamble here, right? But I think what they mean is the objects of the bill, obviously. Yeah. Good? Right. Now, on the objects of the bill, let's see what the public has to say. And Antonio, you're going to help me here. Now, this I've done my homework. Can I suggest also that members can facilitate things if you do a bit of reading? Now, remember you've got tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, before we come back to the bill next week. So if you read 10 or 12 pages between now and then, it makes it easier to process the bill. I want to show off and say I'm on page of this text of yours, of comments, I'm on page 32. Yeah, of your 180-page document. And on the bill, I'm on page, so I can move fast, but I always have to go along. I'm on page 7 or 8. Huh? Can you? I was going to help Sandy. Go, Sandy. Right, so let's deal with the preamble firstly. Now, the public says that, whoever public is, industry more appropriately, they say in your objects, the first one is a voluntary ombuds scheme, right? Now, this thing about confusing the compulsory membership of an appropriate ombuds scheme. Now, to be fair, members, they've just come back on a constituency period. The DA is traumatized, they didn't get the two-thirds majority there, but, so, you know, we have to, sorry, I said no more facetious remarks, especially now 57 minutes. And then can you control me, please, because Tandy is too scared of me. Right, can you move to voluntary ombuds scheme? Explain in a nutshell, no long story, members can do their reading on Sunday, what they said and why you agreeing or disagreeing.
The preamble is a preamble already.
No, it's objects. It's not confusing.
It has no legal standing. It's incorrect. And basically what has happened is the stakeholders have asked for themselves, as you mentioned in the thing.
Don't be facetious. It's something more substantial. I read it last night. Yeah. Policy on the scheme. The first point.
Yes, so we have made those changes in the ombuds section from what I said. Kathy is the ombuds person. I'm going to defer to her.
But it says only quickly.
Yeah.
I thought it's fine, but I don't know what others think. Any comments, please? Look, it is the object of the bill, so it's not like a paint smash, right? We can talk it out later. Okay, the next one on page 7 of the matrix, Cal said, put in, if you see on page 8, it's in blue there, on the top, to provide for the protection and promotion of human rights as set out in the Constitution, in the financial sector. Now, you're saying, anyway, that is taken for granted. Now, I want to raise something, right? I don't see a crime in putting it in. Because of what happened in 2008 and so on, what is the crime? Now, Advocate Dinkins, we have done this before, where a government department says, but that's covered in some other bill, and we've said, as reflected in the other bill. So to remind people who are reading this bill, who aren't reading the other bill necessarily, that they want further clarity or certainty, there's another bill, right? We've done that, if I can say that. That has been something we fought for in the earlier 1988 to 2000. We've done it in a lot of municipal legislation, you might know. Secondly, there are these inane, redundant things that the government and the state law either don't like. But in the committees that I've been in, we put them in anyway. And how I thought about it really over the last 2 days, because I read this last Friday evening, that actually there's not a crunch. The problem with the Advocate Jenkins is there's no specific thing in the bill as such which achieves that object, right? The bill as a whole seeks to do so. But even then, I would like members to think of putting it in there, leaving it in there, not crime. Because the banking sector, I'm not implying you personally, have done some horrific things. If you think of the losses to people's income, their homes, their jobs in 2008, didn't long before that. There's nothing wrong in putting this in. It doesn't have any material effect, but what it communicates is a slight like pro-poor value. Right. Having said that, members, please first, I'm suggesting we leave it. The amendments, include the amendments, include the amendments, sorry.
Include
them. Yeah. Anybody objecting to that? Would it have a strange smash on your side?
I don't think so.
Good. Advocate Jenkins, are you fine with that? Sorry.
No, sir, I think it's good.
Okay. Let's not tell me this is my role and not your. Mr. Reichner, please. Antonio, both of you will do it so you check on each other, and poor Alan will try when Tandy's not distracting him from his role here. To also check, right? And then the DA has these people lurking around. Who's here for the DA? Nobody's here, the researchers. Oh, we need to help, as long as they don't slide in. Oh, right, you may help us too, nothing wrong. You're being paid by some party. That party is funded by the fiscus with the allocation to different parties in proportion to the votes they got. So you're being paid by the taxpayer. Right, so you can help also, nothing wrong there. AMC researcher that doesn't exist, is he or she here? No, okay, right. Now, Catalan existed. I've been asking since 2014 for one. I was close to one. Do you mind me to pursue this? Hey, where's Rukiro, by the way? Oh, right, okay, fine. The Financial Intelligence Center and other organs, now why you put that in it? Do you mind? There's no proposal from the public.
Well, Chair, I think we're inconsistent, and we want to include all the regulators in resource inclusion.
Because you refer them, Yeah. Good. Okay, next point.
Okay, so that hand is up.
There's somebody behind you, Janine.
So some of the amendments in the long title, they are included just to be consistent with other and reflect other amendments that are being made in the bill. Because the long title is supposed to accurately summarize.
Yes, my friend. No, I know, but I just wanted to make it here to the committee. Thanks for that. I understand that, and I think others do. But thanks for that. Good. Next thing is you removed the regulatory council, and you put in ombuds council. Like that?
It is actually quite a big change that happened later, as we've renamed the Ombud Regulatory Council to the...
I saw that, yeah.
And that is from Common Regulatory Role, Cathy, for John.
Just a moment, quickly.
So, just to make it clear that the... we weren't sure what going forward, whether the Ombud Council would remain regulator or would take on Ombud duties, so we just named it the Ombud Council to be agnostic.
When you're going through, but I myself am getting a bit confused, but maybe our members, is it not easier just to work through this, having this with you next to you, obviously, then you... Yes, okay. No, I saw what's up on the screen. So, put the right thing on the screen, yeah.
Reconsider the decision. That's a little bit about review as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Follow it.
Now they
just
wait. And it's confidential. And it's consequential, see, for this.
But then we go then to page 17. Right. Now, here, if you look at the first one, administrative action, no issue on the commission, right? Administrative action committee, we agree. So if you have a spot, without the two points, we'll think of succession of the spot. Administrative action procedure, I guess now, in terms of section 87.92, the cross-referencing is something that I think is Jenkins and Fran Parliament and Jim will do right with you. And a colleague is here now. The next one is evidence facility order in terms of cross-referencing. Banks actually pay close. Now, binding interpretation is removed, right? That's what you earlier time. Then can you move on to business documents?
Quick point there is a bit of discussion about what a legal a document is. So when an investigator puts it up and takes stuff from your business premises, can you use it in proceedings in court? So the general view is that you can't use it in criminal proceedings. So we just clarify that. We'll get to that when we get to that section. But the definition helps us with that.
That
was it. We just said that envisaged, described as better than envisaged.
I like it. Anybody else objecting? I think my mind comes to do this. Next one is counsel medical team is fine. Court means obviously fine. Now, Chris has the same meaning described by saying that.
This is the subject of what we have agreed with the DCI is to change certain sections of the definition of personal service. But I think let's discuss that when we get to that definition.
And so just in why it's here is that just why they have to repeat the definition of credit and credit agreement all the way across, we've just sorted it.
Yeah, I refer to the drafters. I think there was some discussion on the Electronic Information Act or something. I think it's a definition from the Electronic Information Act.
What is the role and I understood the vote to be interchangeable. But hey, you know what? We have many things to do in life. You're taking from the act. What magnetically or optically?
So a representative is a representative of a financial institution. So those are regulated in certain ways and we set standards on them in certain ways. And it was just to clarify that it's, even though they're regulated, a representative does not become a financial institution by virtue of being regulated.
Still very little. It's singular now. So is it a business instrument? Is it an instrument? Yeah.
And say, excuse me, or whatever you want to say. Hey, it's fine, just do it. It's almost forgot. As he says, this is up to you. What are you saying and what do you say?
The business talking stuff comes up later in the prime session.
In what session? We're on the page 8.
Yeah.
Business document. They had a problem with the interpretation.
Right. So what we've done is, and they said it's privileged document, so the second paragraph was there. Should not compile the documentation, and so we agree.
Sorry about this. To debarment, what's the issue there?
Well, it's just a technical thing. We think you don't need to define it in the front because it's used at the back. But we can define it in the front, so we don't think it's necessary.
What do you feel like it, Jacob? You want some time?
Yes.
Yeah,
all right, 2F. Let's go back to debarment. We're not agreeing to debarment.
Right.
I don't even remember raising it. Where debarment? Oh, debarment order. That's why I missed it. Because, okay, so this is 2F. T have to follow, right? We have to get clarity. Or not agreed. I think it's better just to say not agree. N-A. Not agree. Debarment order. You must explain to us. See, sometimes what you've done, Momo, in your team, you just say don't agree. Okay, it's difficult to explain in a little matrix what your reasoning is. Sometimes it's obvious what your reasoning is, other times not. So members will feel free to ask, why do you not agree? Okay? Let's go on to... we're not agreeing to it until you tell us what the issue is. Finally, until our advocate Jacob comes back. Yeah. Financial customer?
Actually, this is quite a big discussion. So the law doesn't differentiate between a wholesale customer and a retail customer. And the reason for that is because it's really difficult to work out what is a wholesale customer. So you might think it's easy, it's like two banks interacting with each other, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. So a pension fund is actually run by a board of trustees, and they're usually just ordinary union workers. And can we impose the same requirements on them as we could on a bank? But it's part of the whole COFI Act. We've got a whole, fund back to a financial institutions bill, which will be post-searching. And so we're having a lot of engagement with the industry on this particular delineation.
Kathy, what's your look?
So we don't think we need to separate out the financial customer between wholesale and retail in the FFR bill, because the nature of the bill is to be applying a cross-sectoral approach, particularly from a principal's perspective. The bill provides for proportionality, so the intention is that the standards which are applied to retail vis-a-vis the wholesale market will be captured under that principle, and then will be given greater articulation through the forthcoming regulations and legislation.
Any comments on that? What does the industry want to say?
Actually, from both perspectives, we've had the discussions, and we know that National Treasury has alluded it. We do not at this point in time have any particular issues with the suggestions made. So, thanks.
Fine, so can you agree with us? It's fine. Then we go on to financial crime. But what's the issue here? Just remind me. I think it's kind of forgotten. What is the issue? No, this is the lack of clarity extent to which.
Yeah, you talk about phase two, right? When you create the next tranche of bills related to this. Yeah, I found it very, like, odd for a committee to sort of make sense of, because we don't really know what's coming, right? So can you give us an idea and then put it in the report? So everywhere where you say you're going to be doing a phase two with Antonio, at the Jenkins, we must put down. The committee must hold the executive to account. They said to us today that they will do this. Now, presumably, there has to be also a time frame within the next 2 years or whatever, right? So the committee can use this report as a means of exercising a sort of oversight. So on phase two thing, what I'd like to suggest, colleagues, is that we don't just say, okay, we'll see it when it comes. We say, this is what they said they're going to do. And then, if possible, we say, by this time. And you come back to us and say, well, you couldn't do it by this time. Well, we might say, okay, we understand, you know, and so on. But I don't even leave it hanging in the air like that. But can you help here? Firstly, what do you intend to eat, you know? Yeah, Kathy?
Just a little comment, which is to say, particularly just for example on the financial crime, we need to refer to phase two. It's not saying that we're holding back and there's going to be a problem until phase two. In this particular instance, there are other steps which will be, like the common law before the prior, but we think we'll improve on them in phase two. So then we would have to go through and look at the various offences across the various pieces of legislation and see to the, where we need to standardise.
Right, so
which is actually said, he's no longer here, but it's exactly what he said, you know, and you were a process, right?
Financial Sector Conduct Authority, as he said, is an issue, then Financial Sector Regulator. I don't see any problem there, except when you refer to, like, in C&D, you refer to only the respects of Part 2, 3, and 5 of Chapter 2, and Parts 1, 2, and 3 of Chapter 5. How do we know what that is unless we read those Excel files? But that's something that's just a rhetorical question. Parliament doesn't have the capacity to stick it, and we won't relabor. I'm going to ask Antonio Relief to know, or Advocacy and Consultant to do it. Parliament except we're not able to do it. Okay? Can we move on? Unless some member wants to take the responsibility, that's fine. We cannot have the staff do the work of 5 people. So, any member volunteers to look under financial sector on page 20, financial sector, we're going to look at C and D and find out what it is and see whether it's what should be applying here. Any member of Parliament wants to do? No? So we're accepting it. Financial services, means a financial service has defined in section 3, but we have issues here, right? Right. So then we've got the next thing is financial instrument and financial product on page 10. Basa had problems here. Explain what's going on.
This is actually a problem, and we admit that there's a problem. Is that we have different ways of defining the same thing across. We have 13 different rules, and we actually define them different, which is a major problem. And that's one of the things we have to fix. We've tried to fix a little bit of a gap, but. We kind of agree with them, but don't think that it's the right time to do it. So the classic example is a financial instrument. So FAIS calls it one thing, has one definition, the financial market has another definition, and unfortunately we create another definition in this bill, but we would like to get to a point where we have a common definition.
Can you put a paragraph on that?
Yeah.
Tell us what the problem is. Now, Alex, we're not going to meet for another 2 weeks on this, most sadly. So we're going to forget things. So what we're going to do is ask you to do it soon, so that Antonio and advocating can look at it. And you should meet before the next committee meeting, half an hour before or whatever, or the day before, so that we don't now cover ground you covered, right? And move swiftly forward. But what I'm saying is, can you ensure we get a meeting done at least 24 hours before our next meeting of the committee? Now, what I want to suggest also is, what I want to ask is, most of these bills, presumably, it's not almost all, fall under the Ministry of Finance. But there may be bills that fall under other portfolios. Then you get a problem. Like it might be under ETI or some other department. So question is, how many of these bills that you will have to review to secure consistency of terms and definition are outside your department?
Maybe NCA, maybe the National Credit Union.
That's the only one.
They're on this issue. Now, this is all under us. Yeah.
Right, so it's easier to do.
Yeah.
Good? Okay. Mention that it's all falls under your ministry, department, whatever, right? The next issue is... Financial sector law on page 10. Well, they're basically saying what is a law and what's an act, colleague. We've been through this before. Where do regulations fall? I think this is a straightforward matter, advocate. Are you fine with Treasury?
Yes.
Good. Let's move on. So we don't...
Yeah, next time just about certification we return.
Yeah, there's no need to carry on. We'll cover the ground. Thank you. We go on to financial sector regulator. Now here, you're saying that Poppy is not really a financial regulator. I agree with you, but what do I want to say? Mr. Jacobs? You're fine with what they're
doing?
Good, so we accept that.
Yeah.
Let's move on. so we're on F, still,
We're on which one?
I'm saying we're accepting Treasury's position,
yes,
as agreed to by Advocate Jenkins too. So the next point we're looking at is page 20 of the bill.
Yes.
And we're looking now at financial stability. Means stability as defined in Section 4. But this is an issue that arose, interestingly, in the UK. Rather than discuss it at this late hour of day, can we say we don't agree, we'll come back to this?
Yeah, we'll definitely have to come back to this.
Okay, so we're saying not agreeing. Please, my colleagues who are staff support, please.
So you have to agree that it's in Section 4, but we can...
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Oh, very smart, Alex. Financial Stability Oversight Committee, nobody's going to question that. Financial System, any comments on that? Financial System Council of Regulators is fine, financial year is obvious. Now, foreign financial instruments, why do you bring this in, remind us?
Okay, so there's a really interesting problem. So when the Treasury issues a bond in London, we're quite happy that if you buy a bond in London, we don't really care. But what happens if someone tries to sell the bond to you in South Africa?
Yeah, you raised this point before.
Sure.
Any points, please? Anybody remember anything new? Have anything you say? I think we've discussed this before. Foreign financial product is straightforward. Friendly societies, remind me if there's anything being raised by the stakeholders, eh? The next one they're raising is governing body, from what I can see, right? Right, that's governance straightforward, group of companies straightforward, health control function. Oh yes, of course. I just said it a moment ago. Right, what's the issue here? Huh? Why do they say this? I ask in my notes. I wasn't really there, eh? What's the problem here?
Who would expect that the
definition would refer to what they say it would refer to? Why would those people be regarded as other guys? Spasa, who is this? Oh, wow. Spasa, normally you raise good points, even if we disagree with them. Well, what happened here? I don't understand what you say. Nobody seems to understand, yes?
Pierre, I'll explain briefly, and then maybe Yvette would like to add, but our concern around this was that we have got governing bodies that have got, according to our terms of references, specific members that belong to those, like for example a board. But you've also got people that attend those boards on as an attendee. So they're not specifically members, and hence the concern that we raised about the definition not being clear to what extent the definition applies to those that have been invited to attend as an attendee, but not specifically in the capacity as a member.
But hey, Advocate Jenkins, follow this thing quickly, please.
is the definition clear enough? Does it preclude what the Basra people think? It doesn't. What?
If you die and you remain to your child, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the...
So, if in the normal course of business, transaction, you die, you create a small trust, which is an individual trust for your family members. Are they now, is that trust key and trust now covered in this definition? That was our concern, because in a financial institution, we have lots of individual trust. But I think in terms of explanation, because in your previous response, Roy, you gave an explanation as to why it's excluded. But then if you with the explanation provided, we could use your previous explanation.
In relation to institution.
Thank you. I don't think an intervivos trust would be covered because it's referring to the management of a financial institution, and inter vivos trust wouldn't fall under the ambit of that.
Marguerite, I guess, yeah. And Jason, yeah, this specifically speaks more to, as now mentioned, the board, the management, the decision makers of a financial institution, and the extent to which each person attends a specific board meeting or governance body, and a decision is made, and that person is taking the decision, to what extent will the definition apply. The matter in respect of trust are more specific to the concern that we raised on key persons, so we can maybe address that in that regard.
I mean, I don't believe it is including a person that happened to sit up, but you can clarify that.
No.
I don't think
we can hold that.
Right.
Let's settle this now, unless we can defer things like this. So, what's the issue? Edgar Jenkins, help us here.
And sir, from reading such like the King reports, the people who were the persons who's responsible for managing, controlling, formulating policy are not the ad hoc members that participate or the attendees to a board meeting or to a management committee or something. Usually it's properly defined who runs the company. And if I read the definition for me, I don't have any questions around who it refers to. It definitely doesn't refer to someone taking minutes, as said in the comments, and it definitely doesn't refer to a legal advisor that will just advise the committee or a principal. It really refers to those people who are paid to manage, control, and formulate the policy and strategy of the financial institution. People are paid big amounts of money and they take responsibility for it. I have no uncertainty around that definition, sir.
Let's move on. Okay. Next thing, we accepted that. Next one is, where are we now? G, governor, blah, blah, blah. Holding company. Self-control function? Fine. Holding company, fine. Industry offer team, there's something here from SAIA. Unnecessary, you say. What's this now? Mediation and resolution, oh yeah. What's the issue here, really? I didn't sort of think it was an issue. I agreed with you, Trisha. Yeah, so really, can we move on? Is anybody who wants to pick up on what Sahih said? No? All right, good. Can we move on?
Let's go to honor.
Inclusion, yeah, okay, you agreed on that, right? And I think that's fine. Anybody have a problem? No. Right. Then we go on to Interministerial Council, straightforward. We then move on to interpretation rule means the statement in terms of section 142. Just remind us there.
Yes,
what's the?
I think we have been changed.
So this we can't accept now until we have accepted it already, right? Yeah. The policy. Yeah. So we accept that. Interrelated is fine. Investigator, joint standard, juristic person. Key person, they've got an issue, right?
Yeah.
Now raise this and ask in the committee, please. What's the issue? What do they say? Kathy, quickly, please, he's the oldest, so we're all fast now.
I think the concern was that key persons was, the way it had been drafted was, or the way it was drafted was too wide. We disagree, we think that it's been crafted to, again, key persons playing particular roles in the context of the provision of products and services within a financial institution.
You said, colleagues, look at page 30. They're saying under A there that we're the person as a material effect, right?
on their participation. I actually don't agree personally. Any member who wants to pick up on this? No? Right, can we move on?
So just to highlight that we did change F.
Sorry?
We did change F. So we didn't read it to mean what we thought. You know, the point is it's only the head of the function that is liable as the person.
Yeah,
the
red point is the head. Okay, good. So can we move on, please? The next one is, where are we now? We're at key persons done. Then legal practitioner, straightforward leniency agreement, levies act, license, long-term insurance, market infrastructure. It's a horrible word. Now, you can explain, man. You all could explain to me. I'm a bit slow, right? What's the central counterparty now? Can you explain those terms just for the case of MP?
Yeah.
What is each of these things? Can you explain simply?
Okay, the central counterparty, those we went to and see LPH in London, yeah. They, when you trade a derivative, they kind of sit between you and the other guy trading the derivative. They sort of, yeah. The interesting piece of puzzle is when you... So, like, when you buy a bond and you want to take the foreign exchange, that's more easy. And you think that the exchange is going to appreciate, so you buy a forward contract, you kind of bet that the rand is going to appreciate, so you kind of buy the rand in the future. Kind of really. Okay, central security depository is when you buy and sell a share, the person that actually makes or keeps a note of who owns the share is the central security depository. Clearing out is like a single counterparty, just not as complicated. It helps in the process of buying and selling shares. An exchange is an exchange. Like a stock exchange. A trade depository is after you do a derivative transaction, they record that you've done it at the thing called the trade repository.
Why do you want central
counterparty? Janine told me that it has to be in alphabetical order.
Alright. We've been through that years ago. Medical Lien Act, Minister, National Credit Act, National Credit Regulator, National Payment Act, National Treasury, all fine. Let's move on to OMBIC. Is there any question about OMBIC? For I didn't see nothing. Then there's OMBIC's board, you've just changed the thing as you said in terms of what we discussed in the objects. Same applies to OMBIC's council rule, counseling terms, explain OMBIC's scheme is fine, organ of state, outsourcing arrangement. Here it is. BASA had some issues here. Explain the nutshell.
Yeah, organ outsourcing. Yeah, you can.
So the background here is when we're talking about outsourcing, it's a function that's being performed for a financial institution that's being performed in relation to its business being a financial institution. So the drafting here is intended to, given that outsourcing could actually mean a whole lot of things outside of what I've just described, this definition is intended to narrow it to what I've just described. Also, just to be clear that the background to this is that the regulators, in some instances, apply a direct regulatory model. In other words, take for example an administrator or someone who is collecting premiums on behalf of an insurer. You can either license that person directly, that's a direct model, or you can regulate that person indirectly through the insurer. So the reason why we need outsourcing arrangements captured here is to capture those arrangements where you don't necessarily want to license that person or that responsibility, but you want to apply standards on it because it's so important and so pivotal to the role being played by the financial institution.
I think here I just like, because it's quite technical, pass out to just make an input. What have you to say in reply?
We actually had a look at the revised proposal and we accepted that, so we're comfortable. Thanks.
Okay. The next one is panel. The panel member is fine. Panelist party. Payment system, payment service, pensions, one credit, one person, promotion, protection, right, all of that's agreed, that's all a piece. Right, then we go to regulation, meet the regulation, blah, blah, blah. Regulatory instrument, you've changed that consequentially. Right, related party, this is just to clarify and give it sort of a better reading, is it? And I can see what the policy issue here. Yeah, okay.
Okay, fine. The Register of Representative Reserve Bank is fine. Responsible authority. What have you done here? Clarity. Yeah. Then review you changed because of the earlier discussion. Right. Then section 7 is fine, section 7 is fine, security is fine. Something about security has been raised by the public. Yeah, what is that now? Security meaning is
a security is defined, but we think that it's an issue because it is already defined in the Financial Markets Act, and we don't use it. We don't use it really here. Yeah.
Alright, fine. Is there any problem, Advocate Jenkins with Treasury, sir?
No, sir.
Good, let's agree that we agree with Treasury. Then we go on to the next one, which is, that was securities, right? Then we got, where am I? Right, then we've got what? Short-term insurance act is straightforward. Significant owner, you're just having five, right? There's no policy impact there, implication. Good. Specific financial sector law, staff member, standard statutory and ombuds scheme, supervised entity, supervisory outside, systemic event. Somebody's got a problem here. Pass that again. It's debatable, I got. Yeah, no, I actually think you're right, but it's
very long.
Yeah, a terrible definition. I think you're right, actually. Advocate James, are you okay? We're going to leave, right? You told us.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's leave that. I think it's fine. Buffer, do you really want to insist on this? Good, let's go on. But I know, actually, it could be either way. My own, I said it's debatable. You're not right, they're not right either. I don't know if the person will... I'm not English fully, but it could be either, actually. I'll just leave it at that, right? Systematically important financial institution. Everybody agrees, I'm sure. Then we move on to taxable income. Has the same meaning ascribed to it. You put this here because you need to. What is the meaning?
Actually, in light of subsequent discussions to that, we've actually taken another reference to taxable income out, so actually we won't need to have that insertion. Apologies that that's...
You don't need it anymore?
No.
Okay, that's fine. This Act, tribunal member, tribunal rules are all fine. We'll have checked cross-referencing. What else has come from the public, right? Systemic event. I see, so this Act, well, that's been covered. Yeah, there's no more issues as far as I can tell, right? So we've got tribunal rules, trust, trustee, website, winding up in this Act. Oh, this is the same issue we've covered already, right? About regulations as well. So everything's agreed to now, reference to in a financial sector law, or the instrument name, which is supposed to be a fine, it's up to and three. Let's go to financial product. What does Act financial product means? Right. You've made a change to G and H. Right. What does the public say here? Do they say anything, Antonio? This is two. They say nothing from what I can gather. Good. So now, why made changes to 2.1?
Thank you. This is what's been agreed with the detail and credit group data. In effect, what it does is it provides for a credit agreement as specified or defined in the Credit Act to be a financial product in terms of this Act. So it will be subject by the implication of including it here. It's subject to the Prudential Authority. But because we say except the purposes of Chapter 4, which deals with the Conduct Authority, and Section 106, which deals with conduct standards, what that in effect is saying is that the conduct authority will not be able to set standards on the credit agreement itself because that's under jurisdiction of the credit
agreement. Now, BASA has an issue here, right, that the term other credit support arrangement be defined. And you note the comment, but just say there will be dual regulations of credits as well as regulation. It's not covered under the National Credit Act. Yeah, it's 21HA. No, it's 21G, if I'm correct. Yeah, 21G. And H, yeah. Okay, both of them. Right. Now here, Professor, do you want to have a last bite of the cherry, as it were?
Thanks, Chair. We're comfortable with the proposed changes. I think major similar to what the Shini group raised earlier, we're very interested in seeing the cooperation between the regulators.
And yeah. See, what I was going to suggest is that because it's a theme, we don't accept these, but we accept A to F, leave out G. And then we go to I and J, we said, right?
Can I just make another point on credit? Is that a point had been made about whether it should be limited only to the credit agreement as defined in the Credit Act, but that's not the case, and it's deliberately not the case. So the Credit Act deals with a very narrow view, which is retail credit of a particular size, and our intention is to go much broader, so it'll deal with the wholesale market and other credit relationships as well.
Do we use investor later on? The investor in it. Just because we use it later on.
The intention is to clarify that we're talking about a person who makes a financial investment, that person then becomes the investor. It's the same person when it's referenced further down. So that the investor, in effect, is a person who makes a financial investment.
Yeah.
Well, I think in this instance, it's just sort of not in this, it's informally defining, indicating that that's a term, just for the purposes of this section, that term will be used for the rest of the section. It's a stylistic thing, I can understand.
I understand all that, but I'm just saying that I'm not familiar with a lot of things that can't be done. But can we just defer this until advocacy can look at it? Then B, sub B is fine. 4A, B, any questions? 5, explain what you've done here.
Just the wording, so the daily good product is something to read.
Yeah, that's what I think, nothing more, right? Nothing finished here. Okay, right. Financial services. In this act, financial services means, now as I understand it, there's nobody who's come from the public with anything until clause 10, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, on financial services, explain what's going on here. I really didn't follow the thing.
Yeah.
I was a bit confused why you did this, but maybe I was just very sleepy and half bored.
Yeah, so, just trying to clarify that, because we had a general definition of financial services, and now I was trying to clarify the issues specifically around credit. So the biggest change is credit, and the other big change is to clarify the role of the group.
Can I ask Basa to help us here? Because, you know, I don't know, Mr. Vega, did you read this? Well, so you've looked at clause 3. I stopped, I'll tell you where exactly I was close. I said, even, this is torturous. I'm not going to, no, I thought I would do it this morning, but then I had to deal with things like open the door to the toilet because there wasn't a key, and you know, what else was I doing? Or get ink for somebody, there's no ink, or stapler, you know, that sort of stuff. That's my job, right? So I don't have time for menial things like looking at bills. So I stopped here, and I want members to tell me honestly, I'm not going to make any value judgments. I couldn't go beyond this. I've gone far beyond this as far as your policies are concerned. I'm well ahead of this. But when I came here, I got stuck here in this city. I don't watch TV now. I have a life to, you know. You might believe it, but I do. But CP, so did you come, did you read the bill up through here? Yeah, because you're less familiar. It's not here, CP, so I was really asking you because you came in late, right? Now, let me suggest that we only lose 6 minutes. We could go ahead, but then none of the members here have actually gone beyond this. So, we've gone faster than I thought we would, actually. So, I'll suggest we close now. And we end on a note that the chairperson is to be congratulated for reducing silly billiness interjections by at least 90%. Did I achieve my target? Okay. Then can you write a letter to the Secretary of Parliament and the Speaker to request a performance bonus? Thank you. On that note, can I ask members to please turn up, if possible, tonight at the function. Apparently there are only two chairpersons there since 9:30. And I bumped into Charles Appiah, and he said, please do something. I said, what can I do? I can't ruin people. Tandy is a very legitimate excuse, right? But the rest of us, please. And secondly, tomorrow you'll be exempted from this committee. to be there, please. Please go. Even if you're taking your flights out, you can choose to do so after 2 o'clock. So at least the morning. There are only 2 South African MPs there. Please, I'm begging you, please go. And then we'll meet next week with a flat plan. You've got it off SARS. And I just want to check if there are any in-house matters that members need to know about. So next Tuesday, we've got SARS quarterly report, including the flat plan. Then we've got briefing by National Treasury on Wednesday the 24th. What's this? That's been changed now. I think it's about to move this. Briefing by National. Are we doing this next week? We've covered this. So let me pick up on Twin Peaks Bill next week as well. Can we get some clarity? Yeah. Can I say, one of the problems we've got is up to Monday morning, we were not clear. Apparently there's 2 views. I don't know if anybody, Mutamania, you may know, I don't know. Is the House sitting next week? Because I'm told now there's going to be a debate on National Women's Day. And I think there's a debate on the issues that somebody's proposed. I don't know anything. So we were told that next week we'll have to sit till 1 o'clock only. And if the House is not sitting, can I suggest that we sit the whole day on Wednesday, the 24th. The reason we didn't put the afternoon is we don't know. Can you check it out with them? Up to, have you got any information? Alright, so can we think it's that this committee will sit with the Twin Peaks Bill? We don't need a whole sitting on Taylor. Where is the more? Where? Oh. Alright, so can we agree that we will, by tomorrow afternoon, inform members by email, because there's no phone system anymore, of Wednesday's program. We'll probably sit till 4 o'clock. So you guys should come. We don't need 4 hours. I think this is slightly skewed because we changed the one thing. I think both of us were 6 responsibilities. So we should have changed them. So we can move on to the FSR goal next week. It would be great because we don't want too much of that. Then what we can do is drop the... No, I'm thinking more and more because now we've got a momentum going. I would like members, you know, it's difficult to sense where you're going to get, right? And now suddenly we've gone and let's not stop. I would like members to drop this review of money also. Let's move it out of here. But then the other committee... Oh, yeah, of course. All right, fine. Okay, on Friday the 2nd, we must finish at 12. On Tuesday the 6th, I would like to suggest we ask for exemption from sitting in the House if the DA and other parties will agree. So can you think about that for a moment? So we can get going. All right, thanks everybody. We'll see you at the PDO thing. Thank you, bye.